Today, lies, statistics, and the facts about foreign students and rents. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, notice posts covering finance and property news. If you want a case study of how data is used to mislead rather than help define a problem, then look no further than the recent stoush surrounding foreign students and their impact on the housing crisis. We have, as you know, seen a massive upswing in migration to Australia after the drought through the COVID years. The current high levels continue, as the latest stats show, with the current government target set to be blown past by the end of the year. A significant element in the number relates to overseas students arriving in Australia ostensibly to study, but often as a proxy to gain longer-term residency. Overseas students typically spend several years studying in Australia. This means that many among the record wave of students that arrived last year will be here for some years to come. A total of 767,120 people arrived in Australia on temporary student visas over the 12 months ending June 2024. These were spread across higher education, vocational education, and training like vet schools and English language courses. Some argue that from a purely economic perspective, a high number of international students is good for Australia's economy, and that the education sector is Australia's second largest export, bringing in around $36 billion over the 2023 financial year, for example. University of Australia Chief Executive Luke Shee said international enrolment should not be blamed for housing woes. Using students as cannon fodder in the migration battle risks the viability of our universities. And as national accounts show, the growth of our economy, said, international students contributed more than anything else to Australia's GDP growth last year. Now, while it's certainly one of the factors that prevented Australia from entering into a technical recession last year, the truth is this is a statistical trick, as we've highlighted before, because many overseas students also work in Australia and often send funds back overseas. See my recent discussions with Cameron Murray and Tarek Brooker, who have peeled back the truth, though the same lie about the economic contributions of foreign students is trotted out regularly by academics trying to defend their mismanagement of the economics of education and to resist the proposed cap on students ahead. The move has sent the education sector spinning at a time when government funding for universities is taking a back seat and when nabbing vast numbers of overseas students has been required to make universities' budget work. Of course, a whole new industry designed to pull overseas students into the country with dubious educational value is in question. Indeed, the government announced that it would cap the number of international students' enrolments at 270,000 for 2025, though under the government's proposals, universities could increase their cap number of overseas enrolments if they built student housing. Education Minister Jason Clare said the cap would mean more student housing in coming years. This is a fairer way to sustainably manage this important sector, he told AAP. The axis of the debate shifted because of the potential impact on housing affordability, given that the number of temporary visas in Australia has climbed by almost 500,000 from the pre-pandemic high, and we know that rental affordability is shot. Now, there was an Accenture report released in April 2024 for the Student Accommodation Council, which said that in recent times, they, students, have unfairly worn the blame for Australia's rental crisis. This report categorically demonstrates, they say, that international students are not the cause of the rental crisis. To lay the blame for Australia's overheated rental market at the feet of students who underpin our university sector and fill skills gaps within our cities is at the very least unfair and at the most highly damaging to our reputation as a welcoming country. We need to see a greater pipeline of projects to ensure housing choice for all students when they arrive in Australia. In fact, they claim international students have limited impact on the rental market, only accounting for 4% of renters, and that 2% of LGAs have a concentration of international students in the rental market above 10%, and in 73% of LGAs, the concentration of international students is less than 1%. Importantly, as you will see, this is based on the 2021 ABS census. Oh, wait. The people who are advocating for more student accommodation bills are seeking to debunk the impact foreign students are having on the property market. Based on this report, the chair of Australia's National Housing Supply and Affordability Council, Susan Lloyd-Hurwitz, attacked the federal government's international student caps and downplayed their impact on the rental market by citing that spurious Student Accommodation Council report. Caps on international student numbers would likely have very little effect on housing supply because students only account for 4% of renters, she said. A number of them live in designated student housing or, indeed, rent those spare bedrooms from individual households. But it would seem to be fairly damaging to our second biggest export industry. It's not the case that international students are crowding out renters in our cities. Now, of course, Lloyd-Hurwitz worked in the property sector, most recently as the CEO of Mirvac, although now, of course, she works for the Australian taxpayer, not the industry. But now the government, in the form of the Department of Education, has actually debunked the claim that international students only utilise 4% of Australia's rental housing stock by releasing a fact sheet. They make the point that the mythical 4% figure was based on 2001 census data when international student enrolments were tracking at a cyclical low. Using updated data and the same methodology as the SAC report, it suggests that international student utilises 7% of Australia's rental accommodation, or one in every 14 rental homes, they said. According to the ABS 2021 census data, on census night, there were 336,900 student visa holders in Australia, the fact sheet notes. The Department of Home Affairs numbers of temporary visa holders in Australia report on the 31st of July 2024 shows 696,162 student visa holders in Australia. This represents a 91.3% increase in the number of student visa holders when compared to the 21 census data from which that 4% figure was derived. All other things being equal, this means that the 4% national average figure based on the census would be more like 7% based on the 31st of July 24 figures, the Department of Education estimates. Moreover, the fact sheet notes that the 4% figure was a national average across all rental markets and that the concentration is much higher in major capital city areas. On the other hand, 406 LGAs, or 73% of the total, make almost no contribution to this national average, having international student numbers less than 1%. And 90% of international higher education students' enrolments are in those major cities of Australia, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, Adelaide, Perth, and Canberra. And they say around 50% of all the national students currently reside in the private rental market. This would suggest that in July 2024, there would likely be at least 343,904 international students in the private rental market, with a potential increase of 180,149 international students in the private rental market since 2021. And then they refer to the RBA study by Trent Saunders and Peter Tulip, showing that even small impacts on the demand and supply of housing can impact rents and housing affordability. Using this information, the Department of Education explains that the surge in international students has likely driven up Australia's rents. The Reserve Bank of Australia estimates that a 1% increase in rental dwelling stock results in the costs of rents decreasing by 2.5%. A 1% reduction in the demand for private rental properties has an equivalent impact of a 1% increase in dwelling stock, and that will result in a decrease of rental prices across the market, especially in inner cities. So they conclude that evidence suggests a connection between rental prices and the presence of high numbers of international students. Tarek Brooker, by the way, recently cited findings from the ABS Temporary Visa Holders Survey in Australia, which revealed that international students significantly increased demand for rental housing. International students are much more likely to live alone than the average adult under 40, 7.2% versus 4.2%. 14,000 result in a boarding school or other on-campus accommodation. 116,000 live in a detached house, 51,000 in townhouses, and 173,000 in apartments, and 28% reside in group households as defined as two or more unrelated people living together, compared with 30% for the population aged 20 to 30. 25,000 live in homes with two or more spare bedrooms, 68,000 with one bedroom spare, 68,000 live in a home with no spare bedrooms, and 35,000 live in a home needing two or more extra bedrooms, 63,000 with one extra bedroom being required as defined by the ABS. So, unfortunately, this boom in international students and broader migration has come at a time when our ability to deliver new housing has been severely hampered by high construction costs, capital constraints, and labour shortages. As a result, the number of homes completed in Australia last year fell short by around 87,600 relative to the number needed to accommodate population growth. There is no question, therefore, that high levels of migration have been a key driver of the rental crisis. This has placed instant pressure on an already strained rental market and is one of the contributing factors behind the low vacancy rates and high rent growth seen over the last 2 years. Rent growth from surging student numbers can be seen in student suburbs in particular. For example, Clayton, home of Australia's large university Monash, which saw unit rents up 20% over 12 months ending July, and Glebe, near the University of Sydney, which saw rents up 17%. We have not been building enough homes. Clearly, this fact has been recognised by the federal government, who, in announcing the cap, acknowledged the need to encourage universities to create new supplies of student housing to benefit both domestic and international students. In recent years, state and federal governments have been repealing some of the tax barriers preventing offshore institutional investors from developing residential projects in Australia, such as purpose-built student accommodation and build-to-rent. Foreign investors typically use managed investment trusts to buy Australian real estate, and it can be hit with a 30% withholding tax. Legislation currently under review would reduce this to 15%. Given that foreign investors account for the vast bulk of capital driving the development of student housing and build-to-rent accommodation, it seems likely this will stimulate the development at a time when the need for more rental accommodation is crucial. But actually, that cap on the new foreign student enrolments at 270,000 next year is designed to soothe community anger about the effects of booming migrant numbers on the housing market and local infrastructure. The decision from the government came following months of pressure from the coalition over the size of the migration intake, which hit a record of 564,645 in the 12 months to September 23, as international students and foreign workers flocked back to Australia after the end of the pandemic-era border restrictions. Opposition leader Peter Dutton also promised to cap foreign student numbers, in addition to cutting the permanent migration program by 25% and putting a two-year ban on foreign investment purchases of Australian real estate to, quote, restore the dream of home ownership. Housing costs consistently rank among the top issues of concern for voters in opinion polls, with advertised unit rents increasing 50% since the middle of 2021 and house prices hitting record highs despite the headwind of high interest rates. So it is important to understand the basis of statistics being thrown about and the motivation of those throwing them out as well. Once again, it shows how housing affordability has become a political epicenter. And in fact, in that context, it's hard to make good policy in the face of the statistical flak. Bottom line, too high migration must be curtailed and foreign students should not be ring-fenced. Now, if you're buying your home in Sydney's contentious market, you don't need to stand alone. This is the time you need to have Edwin Almeida from Ribbon Property Consultants standing alongside you. Buying a property is both challenging and adversarial. The vendor has a professional on their side. Emotions run high, price discovery and price transparency are hard to find, and then there's the wasted time and financial investments that you make. Edwin understands your needs, so why not engage a licensed professional to stand alongside you? With RPC, you know you have experience, knowledge, and master negotiators looking after your best interests. So shoot Ribbon an email at info@ribbonproperty.com.au. And if you use the promo code DFAWTW/Martin, you can get a 10% discount offer. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.